You got roots in different places. You grew up in different cities. How many grew up in Madison or at least this area? How many of you grew up? There's more of you than I expected. All right. How many grew up out, let's just say in Wisconsin, but a decent way away from here? Okay, I see your hands. How many of you grew up out of state? Wow, that's the majority of you. That's the majority of you. All right, who can beat 1,200 miles away? Whoa, okay. Oh, I'm not. All right, sorry, everybody. The people from India win. That's the longest distance. Oh, wait a minute. How far is Indonesia as the crow flies? Pastor Rena may beat India. Oh, this is too close. I don't know. I guess it depends on what ocean you cross. Yep, it really depends on what ocean you cross. So, Pastor Rena and our people from India, y'all win. Y'all win. I thought I was going to really be up there, 1,200 miles, Florida. I thought I was going to win. I lost big time. What? I know. I really thought I was going to win. Jesse's laughing at me. She thinks it's hysterical. You didn't hear it, but she said, you said it with confidence. You knew you were going to win. And then I didn't think about foreigners. Y'all are disqualified. Hey, to play, I don't know if you've noticed, if you're going to enter things, you must be a U.S. citizen. That's in there. There's a Coca-Cola. Oh, come on, people. I don't make the rules. Well, yeah, I guess I, yeah. All right, now, all right, that was a joke, Katie, calm down. Calm yourself right on down. I already said they won. And so we have people from Louisiana. What other states do we have represented in here? Washington, Louisiana, what? Iowa. Ohio. Buffalo. Where? New York, I was about to say. Like, Buffalo, where the buffalo roam? No. All right, any other state? Where do we got you from? California. Illinois, California. And so, what? Mexico. We got people from Mexico. And Florida. Now, in all of this, I met someone very recently, just as soon as he opened his mouth. I said, you're from California. He goes, well, how do you know? And I'm like, dude, with that accent, I know exactly. I'm like, you're from Southern California. I don't know where, but you're from Southern California. He goes, I'm from L.A. I'm like, yep, I can pick up on it. I said, a lot of people ask you, don't they? He says, yes, they do. I said, it will never, ever go away. If you live here, it will never go away. And I have a rule in my family. I do not order food through a speaker system, and I do not order food over the phone. You want to know why? They get it wrong. They get it wrong. And normally it's always Jesse's meal. It's always normally her meal that gets wrong. And so, but my accent, oh, this is beautiful. One time I met someone in church, came to visit. And as soon as she opened her mouth, I said, you're from Northwest Florida. And she goes, well, how do you know? I said, that the way you said it, the accent, you're from Northwest. And she said, well, can you guess where I'm from? I said, you have to either be from Oak, Sop Choppy, good Floridian names. Sop Choppy, you got to be from in that area. And she goes, well, I'm from Sop Choppy. She says, I have daughters who live now on St. George and in Apalachicola. I said, I'm from St. George Island, Florida. And she goes, oh, really? Who's your family? So we started talking. She knew some of my family. I knew some of her family. What are the chances of meeting somebody? But I was able to pinpoint by the accent. And that's not God. That had nothing. It wasn't like, huh? The Lord is telling me, man, how much spiritual would I have looked if I had been like, the Lord is telling me you're from Northwest Florida. Hallelujah. Y'all just don't joke a lot. What's wrong with y'all people? That's hysterical. That's hysterical. Jesse doesn't like me joking about that. I'm never going to do it. That's what makes it funny. That's what makes it funny. Y'all never, I grew up playing church. Thank you. We had sick people. My sisters, I was always the preacher. I had to be the preacher. My sister, Tani, was always the sinner or the sick person. My sister, Manda, was always the saint. And so we had church. And Tani would come, and something was wrong with her. God would heal her, and we would all shout and praise God. I'm sorry that y'all were all secular and played Walmart or Target or school. I don't know. We played church, and there were sick people. People come to get healed at church. People come get filled at church. Ain't nothing wrong with joking and playing like that. Only religious people and devils get mad about playing like that. So figure out which one you are and change. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. But some of the reasons why our accent is the way it is, some of the reasons why our sayings are what they are, has to do with our roots. Has nothing to do spiritually, has nothing to do, you know, everything to do naturally and where we are from. And can I tell you something? There's even things that spiritually that we do that are a part of our roots. I know how to be a Southern charismatic Pentecostal. I know how to do it. And I can go to my Southern churches, and I even know by denomination how to sway, how to hop. I know some of you are looking at me like, what? No, I'm telling you how to clap. Thank you. I got two people who grew up in denominations. I know how to clap depending on what denomination I am in. The Church of God, just so you know, when they are done, most Southern Church of God, charismatic churches, at the end of a pause of a song, there's three claps. That was two, I know, trust me. But there's three claps at the end, and then you go back into clapping. And then there's this hop that's universal among the Pentecostals, that your Church of God, your Assemblies of God, you're safe. You bounce one full time, and then a half a bounce. And one full time, and half a bounce. And one full time, and half a bounce. And I mean, you work your glutes, you work your calves. I mean, you don't even have to go. When you're at a charismatic church, you don't have to go to the gym. You done worked out. You don't work the whole body out. I'm staying back here. I don't like that look up front. So I'm staying back here. And so there are certain things that even in denominations, you go to the South, if there is a tongue and interpretation, it will end with, thus saith the Lord. Yes, sirree, Bob. Thus saith the Lord. In some of them, not all of them. But you guarantee there's going to be a thus saith the Lord in there. And you get up north and it changes, the accent changes, everything changes. But some of who we are is how we grew up. But the key is, no matter if what it is, if it's spiritual, religious, natural, carnal, no matter what our roots are, we can have a root transplant if we need to have it to change. If God's call for our life, no person, no denomination, no way of growing up, no personal personality will dictate your future. If something about your personality needs to change for you to fulfill the call of God on your life, God is bigger than your personality. He's bigger than your state that you grew up in. He's bigger than if you were poor or if you were rich. He is bigger than the color of your skin. He is bigger than if you came from across the nation, across the world. It doesn't matter. God's call will be fulfilled because you have new roots, and those roots are in Christ Jesus. And so your personality, I've told this story, is that I was shy. Nobody believes it, but I used to be shy. That personality had to change for me to step in my calling. Now, not everybody needs to be like this. I had somebody ask me very recently, do you feel like you're yelling the whole time you're preaching? And I said, I don't know. Never thought about it. Well, maybe you should think about it. They're like, maybe I should. But I'll do that next year. I'll look at it in 2020 to see if I feel like I'm yelling a lot. But I come from a loud family. If you met my mother, you would understand. You would understand why I'm loud. If I ever lost my mom, all I had to do was sit still for at least 7 seconds, and I'd hear her laugh. I'd be like, oh, that direction. And if I lost, say 7 more seconds. Oh, this way. And I could find her. She was a happy person, and she was a loud person. And we started talking about one of the things we said last time that I was speaking on this subject is that where this church is going, where God has called us to go, bitterness cannot be a part of the root system on the inside of us. I have met bitter families. I have met bitter people. I have met people that hold on to offense, who holds on to bitterness. And then I've met people who release it very quickly. But this is it. You may say, well, my daddy, I was raised this way. I'm not really quickly to forgive. Well, Jesus was really quickly to forgive. No, I'm not saying you got to be best friends with people. You ain't got to be best friends with them. I've used this example, and I always use Bob. You want to know why I use Bob? Because Bob never sends me an email. Bob never talks to me afterwards saying, hey, I really wish you wouldn't use my name. And Bob has never asked me. I've never asked him because I don't want to know because I might have to find someone else to pick on. But if I went to Bob's house, Bob is awesome. Bob is love. He is an amazing person. But if I went to Bob's house and he punched me right in the face the moment I opened the door, bloodied my nose, blood, okay, let's not get descriptive. And then he said, Pastor, I don't know what I did. I'm so sorry. It was a reaction. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'd be like, all right, Bob, I forgive you. And then let's say the next time I went to Bob's house, the moment he opened the door, he nailed me. He says, Pastor, I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know why I did that. It was just a reaction. Please forgive me. I forgive you, Bob. It would be stupid of me to continue to do this process over and over again. So there's some people that I am not going to be able to have in my life, and it does not mean forgiveness is restoration. That's why we have two different words. My relationship with some people, my past relationship with them will never look like my future with them. Why? Because life has changed. Because people, you know, I can forgive you and not be your best friend. I'm not saying our relationship can't be restored. And let me say this very clearly. Married people, don't you walk out of here and say, Pastor, he said it. He hit it on the head. I am done with you. You have messed with me for the last time. For me to love you, we got to love each other from afar. You go live somewhere else. I'm going to live over here. No, 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 no. You got to work through that mess. All right? You have to work through that mess. You don't have an option there. Now, if there, oh God, I said I wasn't going to over-explain things, but I feel like I have to. Now, if there is abuse, get out, run fast. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Don't stay there. But if there's problems, you need to work them out. You don't just get upset with somebody and leave them. But there are relationships that are toxic that need to be cut off. And it would be ridiculous for you to keep that in your life. So forgive. You can forgive someone and not allow them back in. If somebody steals from you every time they're in your house, it would be stupid and irresponsible for you to bring them in. You got to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when you love yourself, you don't set yourself up for failure. You don't set yourself up. When you got kids, you know, you don't just let anybody into your house stay the night. Just stay there. We have rules. I've already talked with my wife because the stats ain't good for girls. Stats ain't good. And I told my wife, my children will never be a part of those stats. And I don't care what I have to do. I don't care who I know. I don't care how much I trust them. It ain't about that. It's about them never being a stat. And I will move heaven and hell to protect them. That's why I need that. I got an awesome app, but not on my iPad. That's a piano. It's like, so good. I should have had it ready. That would have been a perfect timing. But in this, I'm not going to let my girls be a stat, and it's nothing. And if you ever had to come stay with me, I'm sorry. There's certain precautions we take. I love everyone in this place, but I love my kids, so I will never set them up for failure. I will never set them up to be hurt. I will never set them up to be a stat. I'm going to set them up to prosper in everything I do. It's not about you. It's about my love for them. Woo! Feel like I could dance this morning. Okay, I told you I was raised charismatic. So we talked about bitter roots. We talked about bitter roots. They deceive you. Bitter roots will lie to you. Bitter roots will say things about people that is not true. Bitter roots will say they did something on purpose when they ain't even paying you no attention. Bitterness hurts you more than it does the other person. You think you're being all snotty and whatever that means. That was in tongues. Get it by the Lord. That you might think it's sharp or you're being sharp to them and you stuck it to them. Oh, they probably didn't even notice you stuck it to them. Why? Because bitterness is more about you than it is about them. And it's hurting you more than it's hurting them. Because they probably cared less about you. That's probably why they did what they did. They don't care. But you care. And you're holding on to it. And you're rehearsing it over and over and over again. And some people won't let people in their life because of that. Because they've been so hurt that they're going to guard themselves. And they stop themselves from walking in freedom. They stop themselves from walking in complete happiness. Why? Because they are guarded against somebody else because of what somebody else did for them. I'm not saying be stupid and have no rules and no filter or nothing of that nature. I'm saying you don't shut everybody out because somebody did something to you. Nobody will ever hurt me like that again, so I'll never allow it. That's not how we guard ourselves. We are led by the Holy Spirit. But somebody's going to hurt me. Can I tell you something? Yeah, they probably will. You're probably going to get hurt again. And that's it. In ministry, I remember someone telling me, a pastor telling me, you got to have a heart like a dove and a skin like a rhino. And so in that, you've got to love. You've got to show love. We're not loving so we get something back. We're loving because God loved us. We're loving because God is love. Oh, I heard somebody, and I can't even credit the right person with it. But one of the statements they said is if we talk about love like an attribute, we'll always be chasing an attribute instead of chasing God, because God is love. If you say love is God, or God is love, or whatever, you're always looking for that feeling, that emotion, you're chasing an attribute, but love is God. So love flipped over a table. Love preached the gospel. Love set people free. Love healed the sick. This is what love does. But we're not chasing the attribute. We're always going to get love wrong if we're after a feeling or an emotion or what our idea of love is. God is love. And people, the world has used this against the church. Well, God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do that. First of all, the world doesn't know what God would do because they don't even know Him. Religious people don't know Him. Religious people don't know Him. So the world doesn't know Him. Religious people don't know Him. All they know is legalism. They know the law, and they're trying to fulfill the law. Jesus has fulfilled the law. God is love. God is grace. God is mercy. And as we put God on the inside of us, love will naturally come out of us. Love protects. Love huddles together. Love set people free. Love allows people to leave. Love allows so many things. But we have to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, or we'll always be going after attributes and thinking that's love when God is love. It's impossible. Oh, it's impossible to do anything God is telling you to do and it not be love, because He is. So you may say, I don't like, maybe God tells you to give finances to somebody. And then maybe the next time God says, don't. Well, what's the difference? I don't know, but we're listening to the voice of God. And everything He says is love. So I can't judge love by, oh, I gave to them, so I love them. And today I feel really bad because I didn't give to them. And that didn't seem like love. No, God is love. And if He says yes one day and no the next day, it's love. It's the same love because it's the same God. And you can't judge love by attributes, or you're always going to miss it, because it's always about what you do, what you feel, instead of listening and following. So look at your neighbor and say, follow God. Look at your other neighbor and say, it's always love. And everything you do needs to be filtered through love. It does not need to be sharp. It does not need to be mean. The only time that I find Jesus was sharp with people, or at least on the outside, it was religious people. He never called a sinner anything mean. I never see where He said really mean statements. I guess the only thing that comes to mind is where He was talking to a lady and He says, is this, you know, for dogs, what God has? It's for God's chosen people. And she said, oh, but master, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table. I have no idea what that was about. Got to study a little harder. But that's the only thing I can think of. But Jesus was very clear with religious people. He said, you filthy snakes, you dirty vipers. And it's something about religious people. I find that religious people are the filthiest of filthy snakes. They're mean. They're hateful. They bite and such venom rushes through them. Religious people are pretty good at it. Jesus got more rough with religious people than I ever saw him in the world. He never walked into somebody's house that was sinning and flipped their tables. But he did walk into the house of God. Religious people that were shortchanging people. And he flipped tables over. It also says he made a whip. Now, I've heard people say, well, he made one, he didn't use it. Pfft, I don't think God made anything he didn't use. I think he just, oh, I can't wait till we get to heaven. I'm going to ask him. I believe we're going to be at this, and if this is not true, who cares? But I believe we'll get to see events like movie theater. Like we'll be able to watch it, but it'll be 3D. We'll be involved and not like totally involved. But I'm going to, Lord, take me back. I want to see what you did with that whip. I want to watch. Somebody said, well, when you get to heaven, that'll change. You won't care. I'm like, maybe, but maybe not. Maybe I'll still want to see it. We'll find out. But bitter roots, where we're going, we can't have them. We are not going to be able to have them. Bitterness cannot be a part of your life. You're going to have to be able to let go of some stuff. You're going to have to be able to. I'm not saying that it's not going to hurt you. I'm not saying that, you know, years later, if you thought about it long enough, it won't bring tears to your eyes. What I am saying is you can't let bitterness control your actions for the future. Your actions have to be out of love, out of God, not out of pain, not out of hurt. Do you know there are some people who succeed in life out of bitterness? Because somebody told them they would never make it. Somebody told them they were no good. And on the inside, I'll show you. I'll make you eat those words. And they succeed out of bitterness. So you can't look at somebody's life. I want to be very clear. You can't look at a minister and the works that come. If he lays hands on the sick and they recover, that is not a sign that he's spiritually where he or she is supposed to be. It has nothing to do with it. God's word never comes back void. So you can't judge somebody's heart based on the miracles that they operate in. And as you grow, I have seen this happen in the body of Christ where people were in sin. And because they operated in miracles, they took it as God's grace and acceptance of the way they lived. I've heard stupid stuff such as people, well, God knows my needs. Yes, he does. He created them. I want to just scream. I ain't going to say the stuff that came to my mind. But just because God is not punishing you openly because you made a mistake does not mean he agrees with the way you live. Never, never, never mistake God's ability to use you as him accepting everything in your life. Doesn't mean everything's perfect. Let's just bring it down. God used a donkey to speak to someone. And if he'll use a donkey, he sure can use you. So never get to the place that you have arrived because somebody was healed by your hands. And never judge another minister to be holy because he speaks the word and the truth and God's word operates in him. There were evil kings who operated in the things of God. It's interesting. It's in a book. And I'm just trying to think if I want to tell you the name of the people. Probably not. But one of the things he talked about was this guy who is a billionaire gives all the time to nonprofits. He gives. And he makes sure that a minimum of his giving is 10%. And the reason he does is because his father, who was a good Catholic, taught him to tithe. And he says, in his book, he says, I don't understand how it works. I just know it does. As I give, more always comes back. He said, my daddy taught me that. I've always done it, and it works. Someone who was not operating in the plans of God, someone who was not going to church, was not morally a good person, did it, and it worked. Why? Because it's a principle of God. and he put it in. Can I tell you, every time we prosper, we're using principles of God, whether you recognize them or not. True prosperity in this world is only comes to us, that does not leave us, is operating in the principles of God. Doesn't mean that they're godly men or women. So never judge somebody by the works that come from them. I'm just going to go ahead and make a big statement right now. We will have people speak in this church that some areas of their ministry we don't agree with. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about doctrine. There are people that are specialists in an area, and we need that in our church, but they'll be off somewhere else. I'll give you a great example of this. I got a good friend. This is a small little example. But he believes in ministry, graduated from Rhema, a decent friend of mine, and he believes that you can know the very time and hour that Jesus will return. And why y'all get, y'all all got like, we don't hate him. Come on, people. He's a good guy. He's pretty much dead on in everything else. And we disagree. And he's tried to change me. I don't try to change him because he's who he is. And I know I'm not going to be, I mean, like, if Jesus can't change his mind, there ain't nothing I can do. So I showed him in the scripture what I believe. He showed me in the scripture what he was believed. I just looked at him and said, you're wrong. And we joke, he's a good guy. So I told him, I said, if you'll soften your heart toward the Lord and maybe give your life to Jesus, he would correct you on that. And when I go, when I've been to his church, he makes fun of me from the pulpit and all his people laugh. And I let him get it. I let him jab. Why? Because we're in his people. I'm not going to make him look bad in front of his people. But, you know, if he comes here, I'm going to mock him ridiculously. And y'all all join in with me and be on my side no matter what point he makes. I'm your pastor. And so, you know, he disagrees. But we're going to have people in the body of Christ. Can I tell you something? There is a priest out there, and his teaching on end times is the best I've ever heard in my life. He's fantastic, and I believe he's off in a lot of other areas of his life. But I'm not going to throw out his teaching on end times. And can I, let's say this. There are ministers who have fallen. But does it mean that they're teaching and they're, there was a minister that failed, big time. And I had one of his books, and the thought came to me, I need to get rid of this. I need to throw this away. And then just on the inside, well, why? Doesn't change the fact that the book is right. Doesn't change the fact that the teaching is right. He was just off in another area of his life. So let's just say this. Let's take the truth. And anything that we disagree with, let that alone. We don't have to make a fight. What is it with the church that we want to cause division and destroy people because they disagree with us on one subject? Forget it. Let's love them. We can get along with the Baptists. I have friends that tell me, even to this day, speaking in tongues is the devil. It's the devil. And I'm here like, it's amazing that, you know, we don't go down to the bar and see a lot of people speaking in tongues. It's amazing. It's amazing that all these people sin their whole life, never spoke in tongues. They accept Jesus as their Savior, and then Satan gives them a gift. It's just amazing. Like, I hold this until you accept Jesus, and then I give it to you. Not one sinner is out there speaking in tongues, babbling on the side of the road. Now, sometimes they drink enough, you think they're speaking in tongues. That's just a slur. They can't say anything at that moment. They're like, slur, slur. Like, yes, Lord. That's terrible. That's terrible. And so, do you know what's interesting? These people, now, they didn't know at that time that I spoke in tongues. So we cultivated a relationship, and then he brought up, those churches speak in tongues. That's the devil. What do you think about it, T.L.? I said, well, I do it. He goes, you do what? They're like, I pray in tongues. You want to hear? No! No, I don't. I don't want to hear. And he starts going line upon line, precept upon precept, why it is wrong. And I said, well, you know, let's go to Acts chapter 2. And I went through it. And I said, oh, so in Acts chapter 2, it says this is a gift to your children, your children's children, and far off even until the Lord returns. It's a gift. It's tongues of angels. Well, Paul said that he wished that we would prophesy, that it will die away. Well, yeah, that's why it says until I return, and it will die away. but we need it now for this time. Well, it died out with the last apostle. Well, the Bible says that I am a disciple. So the last disciple, and I said, I can prove that because was Tabitha, Dorcas, was she ever listed? No, until later. Why later? Because later she became a disciple. It wasn't until then. By the way, women, you can be disciples, just in case you didn't know. Okay, I don't understand. I saw a guy go, woo! I'm like, dude, what was that about? You're not a woman? Maybe he's excited about his future wife. She can be a disciple. That's it. Okay. He wanted to cheer with them. We get excited when people get excited. And so in all of this, disciples never died out. But this is my point. Someone who cut off all communication with everybody he ever found out that spoke in tongues is still my friend. And it's caused him, he's even told me, he says, I don't fully understand it. And I've come to a place where I know it's a gift and God gives it to people. And his mentality, it's not for everybody, but apparently you are one of those that God has chosen. And I'm like, well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so in all of this, we're not going to be the church that cuts lines with other religious people, denominations, because we don't agree with them. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of these people have points that are right on. They have a point of their life. Can I tell you something? I don't see any denomination that is as faithful as Catholic people are. The Catholics are faithful. You can tell me why, out of guilt, out of this, out of not going to. I don't care what it's for. I do care. We need to have love. We don't need to be in fear. But they are faithful. They go every time the doors are open. They're there. They're going to pray. They're going to Mass. They're going to take communion. They're going to do all these things. They are faithful. We can learn something from them. And then we get our charismatics. They flow in the gifts. Pentecostals, we can learn to flow in the gifts. We can go to our Baptists. They are strong on the Word. We can learn something about standing in the Word. Baptists are stable. They're stable people. We can learn how to be stable from the Baptists. We can look at the Assemblies of God, the Church of God. We can look at all these denominations. We can even look at ones that are completely just false and out there and insane. So many just came to mind. Yeah. If you were here, our guest minister listed one of them, and they start businesses to support the church. Their whole businesses, the Marriott, that their statement is to support a church. American Express, their statement is to support a church, to support a doctrine. And they started businesses. We could learn something about that. About supporting the kingdom and how to do it and do it right, that even the world jumps on board. Oh, someone reminded me, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yes, Lord. Now, I did look that up. Not originally, but they bought it. They bought it out. They bought KFC and Taco Bell. Somebody was telling me about their new nacho fries. Sorry. I feel like I'm easily distracted. Bitter roots will deceive you. They will cause you to look at somebody and say that what they're doing is for about you. That person's doing this on purpose about me. They're not doing it about you. Now, they may. And what does it matter if they are? Why should that person control you with what they do? It's amazing that somebody has more control over you than the God that lives on the inside of you. Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna confront them. I'm going to take care of this myself. Let the Lord take care of it. Can I tell you something? I found out that He is much more creative than I am at solving a problem. I can probably only come up with one or two ways. God can know the heart of a person and move on them. And everybody in here, maybe not y'all, but if I was in the South, everybody in there would be like, Lord, cut the brake lines. Kill them, Jesus. You touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You come against me, God will take care of you. And I will tell you, I have to fight that thought because that is a part of the root system I grew up with. And there's a part of me that, well, it's very easy to grab onto that and say, Lord, just do it. But can I tell you something? What's better? That God change their heart, bring them into the kingdom, that God changes everything about them. And what used to be enemies all of a sudden now fight on the same side you do. Now stand for the same principles you do. That's the best. That's the best. And so that has to change. And God knows what to do. He knows them better than you do. And so however he has to reach them, he's good at what he does. So give it to God. And one way we know you gave it to God is that you ain't talking about it a whole lot with everybody else. Because you're still working on it. You're still trying to get to a point. The problem, if I hear you talk about a problem over and over and over and over and over every cotton picking week. Now look, I'll cry with you. And bad things have been done to a lot of people, and I will stand with you. But if that's the case, if you're 2 years into it and you still can't let go of it, that thing is controlling you more than God is.
That's right.
Not that the pain's not real. But we've got to let go of some things to get into the place that God is calling us. There's some things we're going to have to walk out of so that we can walk into new places. And I'm telling you, I've watched National Geographic, and one of the things I loved is they were talking about how to find water. And so a local tribe will catch a monkey. They'll catch a monkey. Has anybody seen this? Know where I'm going? Okay, a couple of you. They'll catch a monkey, and then they'll leave that monkey out and let him get thirsty. Get really, really thirsty. And then they'll let that monkey go, and that monkey will run to water. Now, if they want to eat that monkey, they'll put some shiny things in a tree. And that monkey will put his hand in, and he'll grab the shiny things, and his hand can't come out of the hole. And that monkey, so stupid, will stay there until the guy walks up and pops him on the head and kills him, and then eats him. And all he's doing is holding on to some shiny things that ain't nothing but junk. And I thought, how stupid of a monkey. But how many people are holding on to a hurt, a bitterness, an offense? And God is trying to get them to go to their destiny. Go to the place he's called them. And they won't let go of the bitterness and the baggage that holds them back. Ah, so we've got to let go of bitterness this morning. We've got to be set free from it, because bitterness will deceive you. It will tell you you have a right to be bitter. It'll tell you that you have a right to stay here. It'll tell you you have a right to hate. It'll tell you you have a right. You don't know what's been done to me. Everybody else may be able to move on, but not me. And because of this, bitterness will deceive you, and bitterness will defile you. Bitterness will defile you. It'll cause, this is what I love. Bitterness, when you look up the word, it's like a mark, like a grease that can rub off on other things. Your bitterness can rub off on other people. And I can tell you this. There was somebody who was upset with someone, and they began to tell me everything that they did to them. I was happy. I was joyful. And as I'm hearing this, I'm getting mad. And all of a sudden, I don't like that other person now. And then after they're done, they're like, well, I feel better. I'm like, well, I don't. I'm like, we need to take care of this. We need to take care of it now. This ain't right. And all of a sudden, I realized I caught on to somebody else's offense. Wasn't even me. Didn't even happen to me. Nothing about me. But all of a sudden, somebody shared their bitterness, and it got on me. But the beauty of it is anointing is the same thing. It means heaviness. It means being smeared, being marked. And when you get under the anointing, don't let bitterness mark you from somebody else. You take the anointing and let it wash off that bitterness. Because sin, if we look at our past, sin. Oh, I've had people tell me, I can't do it because I've messed up too much. I've messed up too much. I remember this one time. I'm done. This is my last story of today. There was me and my sister, we were both in our 20s, and ridiculous, and it was Lent, and somebody gave us some prayer beads, and I thought, Manda, let's do this, let's be ridiculous. We were going to watch a movie, and I said, let's every 10 steps kneel and pray. Let's just be ridiculous. And she goes, okay, let's do it. I'm like, we're in Panama City. Nobody knows us. We don't care. I'm never going to see any of these people again. So we're walking across, and I said, let's hold our beads. Let's look totally into this. And so 10 steps we do, and we do a little prayer. I said, let's do the sign of the cross because, you know, this is Catholic, and we need to look Catholic. Or even though we're Pentecostal, let's just have fun. And so we did this, and the crazy thing was, right at the movie, like we're like maybe 2 steps away, and we hit 10 steps. So we bow down. Line is waiting on us. But, you know, we're in the Bible Belt, so everybody respects it. Like, you get up, people are doing sign of the cross. They're like, well, praise the Lord. Look at those holy people. Amen. That's why you can't judge anybody. People could do whatever they want, and you won't know. You won't know the heart behind it. And so we did this. We bought our movies, and I was going to go to the men's room. And I told my sister, I said, I am not bowing in there. I mean, like, this is a joke, but I ain't taking it that far. And so I said, I'll do it when I get out. And so I went to the men's room, and when I get out, I see my sister and some girl crying. And my sister's telling her things, and I hear her say, wait till my brother gets out here. He's in the ministry. He'll pray for you. And so I'm here like, oh, Lord, now I got to work. I know none of y'all think that way. I'm here like, I'm resting. I'm going to watch a movie, and now I got to be on. I gotta be pastor now. So I walk over, and Monda tells me the whole story, and this woman ran away from home, gave me her whole background. It was a bad, bad background. And it basically, make it short, she didn't have love at home, so she went and she tried to find love, and she went from place to place to place to place to place looking for love and had so many things and abortions and all this, and God can't love me now. I've done too much. And so I was able to talk with her. I said, look, God does not care what you have done for you to come into the kingdom. You don't get perfect. You don't wash yourself clean and come into the family of God. You come into the family of God, and it's the blood of Jesus that washes you clean. It's just, I can't. It's just, I've done too much. And I said, are you calling God a liar? And she looks at me and she goes, I would never call God a liar. God says his blood is enough. God sent his son to the cross. He loved you so much that his son died for you so you could come into the kingdom of God. It's enough. And to say anything else is wrong. I understand you feel that way, but your feelings are wrong. That day she gave her life to Jesus. She gave her life to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. She was holding on to bitterness, to pain, things that were done to her, and would not let her step into the kingdom of God. If you hold on to some roots, some feelings, some emotions, emotions are great. I love emotions. It can be like a roller coaster ride, up and down and hands out and to the side and screaming, shouting, and crying the next moment. It can be a crazy ride, but we're not led by that crazy ride. We're not led by what we feel. I'd be in prison if we were led by what we feel. And half of you would be there with me, and we would still have church. But we are not led by emotions. We're led by the Word of God, by His Spirit. And so this morning, I feel on the inside of me, there's some people that have to let go of some stuff. Let's just be bold as bold can be. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I know I got to let go of some stuff, just stand up right where you are. We're going to pray for you this morning. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Stand up. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else says that's me? Thank you. Thank you. And as a family, I'm believing today you're going to be set free. Now, as the body of Christ, look around. Go to somebody. Go to them. We're going to pray for them. Don't let somebody be by themselves. We're going to lay hands on them. So we know the issue. We know the issue. There's something that has happened, something that happened in their life that they're holding on to. Maybe it's been done to them. Maybe they were the root cause. We have no idea. But God knows, and God's going to take care of it. So let's begin to pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for their response. I thank you for them standing up. And God, I thank you right now that the blood of Jesus is strong enough to set them free. I thank you, Father, that your power is moving through them right now. You said you come to heal the brokenhearted. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are setting them free, that they will walk out of this place with a heart renewed, with things let go. They won't hold on to something shiny. God, you're bringing them into a better place, a place that flows with milk and honey, a place, Father, that they are able to walk out their destiny. They're able to see the plan of God. And I thank you, Lord, that right now, at this very moment, hearts are being mended. Weights are lifted.